Well, I would appreciate your prayers this morning. The Lord would bless the word that he's inspired to my heart and inspire it to yours likewise. I'd like to consider what I've written on the board, choke hazards. If you've raised children or cared for grandchildren or babysat, you realize the importance of watching out for maybe a young child that they not ingest one of so many items that can present a choke hazard. A choke hazard can be or can become deadly because we have really one route into our lungs. And whenever that is blocked, when that's obstructed, we don't live very long without oxygen. We weren't designed to be able to live without it. We require it. It's essential to our life, to our survival, that we be able to draw in oxygen and put out carbon dioxide and that cycle to continue in our body. It's the cycle of life. And whenever that cycle is interrupted, death is right around the corner unless it is restored. So I want to think about the hazard, the danger of choking. Of course, I'm not going to stand up and illustrate for you the perils of kinds of food and all that a young child shouldn't eat. That's not nearly as much the focus of my burden this morning as it should be spiritual hazards that we might encounter. And how the enemy would like to be able to present choke hazards to us and essentially do the same thing to our spiritual man. I'd like to turn to the 13th chapter of Matthew. But as we're going there, my mind goes to what we read, I believe, in the 5th chapter of Hebrews. It talks about milk. It says milk belongs to babies. Of course, the scripture says that we are to desire the sincere milk of the word. That's natural to a baby. It's healthy for a baby. It's what a baby needs. And it says that strong meat belongs to those who are of age. The expectation being that the time comes that you can handle that which would have presented a choking hazard to you. That in the course and the process of growing up and maturing, that you're able to digest, you're able to take in, and you're able to handle that which you might would have choked on at one point. Lord, help us that we be able to spiritually grow and mature as the Lord would have each one of us to do in our walk with Him. Because there are things that are meaty. That there might be a time that I might choke on it and have a hard time getting it down, that the Lord would like for me to be able to digest and get from it what I really can't just from milk alone. All right, well, let's look at the 13th chapter of Matthew. I want to think of choking in a little different light here for a moment. Matthew, the 13th chapter, beginning in the 3rd verse. He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up, and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who had the ears to hear? Let him hear. Let him learn what I'm trying to say unto you here. To be able to take instruction from the picture, the parable of the sower and the seed. He went on to explain to them, kind of verse by verse, a description, an explanation of what he was trying to convey through the parable. He said, the 22nd verse, He also that received seed among the thorns, is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he become unfruitful. Which kind of soil is the soil of our heart? This soil, he said, or this example of the seed that fell upon this ground, there were other things that grew up along with the seed or were already entrenched and planted in the piece of ground where the seed fell. And it says as that seed, the seedling, tried to spring up, it was choked out so that it couldn't grow. It couldn't mature and develop into the plant that that seed was designed to become. There were other things that hindered it, that intervened and prevented it from being able to grow into what it should have been able to grow into. You know, a plant requires certain, I'll call, resources. It requires nutrients, it requires water, it requires light, it requires space. You know, if you take out any one of those, it won't be able to flourish as it otherwise could. You know, one way in which those things are taken away is when there are other plants using those, competing for those resources. Other plants that are utilizing the sunlight. A larger plant that grows up and grows its foliage over it so that the sunlight isn't able to penetrate down below it. It's going to restrict it. Another plant that takes up that same space, the same roots, it's drawing the same nutrients from the ground. You can deplete the resources that are necessary for that plant to be able to survive, and not only to survive, but to thrive. And so it was that this seed was choked out by something else competing for the same resources. And in this case, the thing that choked out the seed was of much less value. It really wasn't important. It really didn't serve any purpose. You know how many things there are in life that try to compete for valuable resources in our lives. You know, every one of us have a limited supply of time. Our days are made up of the same number of minutes. But how many things in life compete and vie for those minutes? You know, every one of us, I believe, have a limited supply. If this isn't the case for you, maybe you can explain to me later. But I believe every one of us have a limited supply of energy. Well, let me say over a certain age. Have a limited supply of energy, of strength, of passion. You know, there are many things that the enemy would try to plant in the soil of my heart to compete with the love of God, the love for His Word, my passion for serving Him. The enemy would like to plant other things right along with it. You see, it's a different tactic than just trying to come along and uproot the plant. Remember, there's a parable of a thief that came along and he sowed tares among the wheat. That can have some of the same kind of effect. The enemy would like to plant things in our lives, in our hearts, that if we're not very careful. You see, you don't just plant a plant. You plant a seed that grows into a plant. And the enemy will come along and try to plant some things in our life that if we're not watchful, if we're not careful, will grow up into something that begins to choke out the things of God from my heart and in my life. And I might look at it in the beginning and say, you know what, this is harmless. This is something I can control. But be careful of those things that would grow and begin to deprive us of the nutrients spiritually that my soul needs to be able to thrive. He said here in verse 22, he likened the thorns unto this, the care of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. Are any of us immune from these things? You might say, well, I'm not wealthy, I'm not rich. Can we substitute in it just materialism? Do you know how much of our time can be consumed thinking about things? You might say, well, it's pretty important to think about things. It is. We are to take care to provide for our families. To go to the ant, thou sluggard, to be diligent in business. He said unto the farmer to be diligent, to know the state of your flocks. Don't be haphazard. Don't be just lazy and just let it do as it will. There's a diligence that we're to apply to the things that we're given responsibility of. But if we're not careful, even those legitimate things can begin to grow to such an extent in my life that it begins to choke out the Word of God. Have you ever found yourself in a place where when you go to the Word of God, your minds go in 100 different directions? And it seems like all these other things that you're thinking about and that you just can't hardly shut down and shut out. Or find yourself in service, your mind doing the same thing. You know, the Lord wants us to serve Him with a passion. To put our hearts into what we do. I don't believe the Lord wants us to just think about serving Him as a duty. Yes, there's duty in serving the Lord. But I believe the Lord wants us to be motivated unto duty by love. By the passion of love in our heart for the Lord. But you know, that's something you're going to have to protect. You're going to have to preserve it. And part of the way that we protect that love for the Lord is to watch for weeds that are growing up in our heart, in our life. It's much easier to be able to take care of those weeds whenever they're small. To pluck them up at that time. Again, they may not be doing anything in that moment that is detrimental to the plant. But you allow that to grow up. You allow it to get to its fruition and its fullness. Well, I'll just offer this as an example. Many parents who are mindful of their children and wanting to be careful in how they raise their children, not even just within the church, in the world at large. How many times do you hear parents saying they set screen time limits on their children? You think there's value in that? Or is that being overly protective? You know, there's a potential of something that can grow and grow and grow. And what might have been harmless in a 10-minute dose. Again, talking about even legitimate and things in and of themselves that are harmless. In a 10-minute dose. But if we're not careful, there are things that can grow and grow and grow to such an extent in our life that it chokes out the Word of God. There are things that can become so invasive in my heart, in my life, and in my thoughts that it crowds my thoughts. It becomes so pervasive that for the thought of God to be able to get through, it's got to filter through all the other things that are trying to crowd in. Isaiah, the 26th chapter, the third verse, offers a beautiful promise. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Is that what we want? Anybody here want perfect peace? You look in the Hebrew words here, it's the same word repeated twice. Peace, peace. This world needs, craves, is longing for, and trying to find perfect peace. He said, whose mind is stayed on thee. This isn't just about a meditation. They've had a little fitness, wellness challenge at work. One of the things that they've offered as a resource is it's a series of videos that you can watch, and it's supposed to help with your well-being and fitness, and they offer incentive and points and all that you earn by watching those. Listened to it. It was a man guiding you through starting your day out calmly or something, and he spoke in a very calm voice. And now I want you to imagine that you're sitting in a very peaceful place. And I want you to just feel the energy release from your fingertips. And I want you to breathe deeply and exhale deeply. And I want you to just imagine that everything is... I don't remember exactly all the words, but this was the idea of it. Just to imagine that everything is well in your life. And imagine a rippling brook beside you and all of this. And you're supposed to be very conscious of the stress just melting from you. Until you didn't do anything for me. I think I was more stressed finishing that than I was before. This isn't just about mind over matter. When we keep our mind on the Lord, whenever we train our thoughts, and this is some kind of meditation exercise that we go through, and yet there is a place that we have to train our mind, that we have to discipline our thoughts. And this is one of those areas where the weeds will start to grow, where we can fill our mind with so much that it crowds out the thought of God, where I can hardly afford, I can hardly bring myself to try to weave in some thoughts of God throughout the day. You know, there's value. I love little devotionals, some of them. Daily Light, it's one I believe Brother Jim shared with me even before. Daily Light, it has scriptures for that day, and you read through it and it takes just a few minutes of your time. It's a blessing. I encourage that to turn your mind and your heart to the Lord at every opportunity. But I also want to say, the Lord has more for us than a devotional depth experience. Those can be things that can whet our appetite, can stir our minds. But the Lord wants it to be more than just a superficial or a passing, a fleeting thought that I turn to the Lord in a moment, and then in a moment I'm gone and back on to my own things. Thou wilt keep him at perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. You know, there's going to have to be space. There's going to have to be time in order for that to be possible. How's your garden looking today? Think of the man we read about, the first chapter of Psalms. It says of this man that man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, etc., that his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You know, there's a difference between meditating and just having a thought come to your mind. But again, it's going to take space. It's going to take time that I'm going to have to reserve for the Lord. Sometimes my calendar at work gets filled up so quickly. Meetings, meeting requests, tasks that are assigned to me that I have to do. Sometimes I'll go in and I'll just block out time on my calendar. And people that look at my calendar won't know what it is. This is time I need to just be able to get some things done, to recover. Do we reserve time for the Lord? With everything, you know what happens if you don't? It's going to be taken up. If we don't, and I'm not here to prescribe to you when and how long and all of that, But I am here to emphasize to us, it is of utmost importance for our spiritual growth, our spiritual health, that we preserve some space in our calendar, in our day, that Lord, this is yours. And it's not just in fleeting, I'll do a drive-through conversation with the Lord. Lord, I need to have a spirit of prayer, an attitude of it. I need to have my thoughts turn towards the Lord throughout the day. Can it work in reverse as well? That we have so much of the things of God on our mind and in our hearts that when the enemy comes along and tries to plant little seeds of doubt, frustration, discouragement, that those things get choked out? Because the nutrients, I hope you understand the analogy I'm trying to use here. The nutrients are being absorbed into whatsoever things are pure, lovely, of good report. That's what's taking up the energy, the time, the resources. I don't have anything to spare here for what the enemy's trying to plant. I'd like to look at the 10th chapter of Luke. I'm going to offer this confession to you. I'm preaching to you while a work in progress. This is something the Lord has to challenge and work with me on. How many times when you see someone maybe you haven't seen for a little while, I say, well, how have you been? And the response might go something like this. Doing pretty good. Been busy, busy. You ever hear somebody indicate to you that life is busy? How about your life? Is it busy? Do you have a lot of time you just don't know what to do with? You know, life has a way of filling up that time that we don't know what to do with. Let's look here in the 10th chapter of Luke, familiar story from Jesus' ministry. Luke 10 and 38. Now, it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister named Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. You know, there was nothing wrong with Martha serving. In fact, I'd say it was commendable that she cared enough about her guests, and scriptures teach about hospitality and the value of that. She cared. She wanted to provide for. And there was something about, as was discussed briefly in Sunday school, about our sense of fair and unfair. That a little bit of indignation, it seems like, look at, I'd like to be there to wish I could sit at Jesus' feet, but somebody's got to take care of all this. You know how things can begin to just chafe? You ever found yourself in a day when something maybe just doesn't quite go right, and it just starts getting under your skin? And you know, the more real estate you give that thing in your mind, the more it takes up. You know, it can be somebody that swerves over in front of you in traffic, honks, and shakes. I don't have any idea what I did to make you angry. You know, there's something I can do with that. How much energy do I want to be consumed with that thing? And I could sit, you know, I'm just going to kind of catch back up with them and give them a look. Do I have time for that? Or can I say, Lord, bless that man. Yes. See how things can get under and begin to work and agitate and frustrate, and before we know it, and it can be the same with worries, with the stresses of life, that we can give those things so much airtime in our thoughts and in our mind that it begins to choke out what the Lord would be able to err to me in my thoughts. So Martha says, not that there was anything wrong with her serving, but what I want to challenge us with today, in all of your cares of life, which every one of us will have some, in all of your cares, don't be cumbered. To be cumbered is to be, in a sense, choked, surrounded, bogged down by. Lord, help me and each one of us to know how to be able to handle the cares of life without the cares of life handling me. Help me to be able to know how to keep things in their proper place and boundaries so that I not allow things to begin to grow and grow. And you see, growth happens many times slowly. Little by little, before I know it, things that maybe at one time had a piece of my life, and maybe it was in order and appropriate, but I can allow that thing to spread out and grow to the point that it's choking out some things. So Martha was cumbered about. Jesus answered, he didn't answer. Mary, get in there and help Martha. Martha, Martha, you ever have the Lord come to you and say your name twice? Clint, Clint. And almost hear the gentle reproof, the shake of a head, a sigh, Clint, Clint. Let's refocus here. Let's get realigned here. Let's not allow yourself to become so drawn in by this. Don't allow yourself to become so consumed here. Clint, Martha, fill in your name. It's time to refocus. You remember Asaph as you read in the 73rd Psalm. That surely God is good unto Israel. But as for me, my feet have almost slipped. What happened? He said, when I thought on the wicked. And he began to look at their life. And he began to think about how they were doing everything they wanted to do. And it seemed like there was no difficulty for them. And there were no bands in their death. And when I thought on it, it was too painful for me, he said. And my feet almost slipped out from under me. What does that have to do with you, Asaph? But it's really the same for every one of us. You know, we can allow ourselves to become so bogged down by what's happening around us. You know, it can. The Lord's challenged me and reproved me before because I'd get caught up in the news. What's going on in the news? And what did this politician do? And what did this? What happened here? What's going on in the Middle East? And what's happening over? And we live in an information age where we are bombarded, where we have so much available at our fingertips. And you know the feeds, when you look at social media or AI or whatever your platform, it feeds it in such a way that when it gives you something, it has something else to offer right behind it. Would you like to learn more about this subject? Would you like to learn more about that? Again, nothing harmful in and of itself. But I've got to know where to draw some boundaries. Now, there are things that are harmful. That it's not about just balancing the right proportions in my life. There are things that I got to keep out of my life altogether. And not touch and run from. But I've had the Lord have to reprove me, Clint, you need to disconnect from the news for a while. You need to spend more time focusing on me and less time about that. That will keep him in perfect peace. Not whose mind has stayed on what's happening in Washington, D.C. But you'll find your peace here. Think on the Lord. Think on the good things of God. Lord, this is your time. Lord, would you speak to me? It says that Mary had chosen the good part. Lord, help us to choose the good part. Yes, we make big decisions in our life, whether we'll choose the good or the harmful part. But in a sense, we daily make decisions. Will I choose the good part? Or do I not have room for it? Have I so crowded out the Lord That it's as if the Lord has been left standing outside. Clint? Hey, Clint. He's left standing. Clint? You know, if I were you, I would... Clint? You know, Clint, you might want to answer them in that... Clint! You see how we can become so distracted? So focused on so many other things around us that it can choke out what's most important, the needful part. You know what? There are some things, if I don't get done in the day, it's going to be okay. But there are some things that I can't look at as that optional. Lord, I've got to stay connected to the vine. I have got to maintain my connection to you because that's my lifeline. And if that gets choked out, I'm in trouble. 1 Kings, the 20th chapter. I'd like to look at an Old Testament parable. 1 Kings 20. This was the story of, I believe it was the Syrians that had come out against Israel, and the Lord gave a victory into their hands. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, was right there before Ahab. He had the opportunity to be able to complete the job, complete the work. But instead, Ben-Hadad consulted with his advisors, if you read the story, and they said, hey, let's put sackcloth and ashes on, and let's go out and just beseech as humbly as we can. And his tune radically changed from what it had right before this battle, where he was boasting of all he's going to do to Israel. Now he comes out groveling, and he comes out with sackcloth and ashes, and oh, behold your servant. And he entreated the king of Israel, and he said, I am your brother. Wasn't what he was saying just yesterday. Ahab hearkened unto him, and he responded, I am your brother. And he spared his life. Well, what I want us to pick up is shortly after that, he spared his life against the Lord's instruction. The 38th verse of 1 Kings 20. So the prophet departed and waited for the king by the way, and disguised himself with ashes upon his face. And as the king passed by, he cried out unto the king. This was the prophet cried out to Ahab. And he said, thy servant went out into the midst of a battle, and behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, keep this man. If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And the king of Israel said unto him, so shall thy judgment be. Thyself hast decided it. And then, just like Nathan did unto David, he revealed himself. Oh, this is the prophet I was speaking unto. And the Lord brought judgment to him because of what he had done in disobedience. But what I'd like to look at is this parable that the prophet used. And I want to draw a connection to how easy it is in life for us to become busy here and there. And before we know it, the thing that was given unto our charge, saying, this is your responsibility. Keep this man. My soul is continually in my hand, and yours is continually in yours. I have a responsibility to you to help try to feed and nourish as a pastor, but ultimately, you have a responsibility to your own soul to keep your soul, and I mine. I've got to keep this man. I've got to keep this spiritual man. Keep him alive. Keep him well. Don't let it escape from me. And while the servant was busy here and there, distracted, lost focus on what his one responsibility was, Lord, help us not to become so busy here and there that we lose focus of what our number one priority is, to tend unto the needs of my soul. I want to relate something I observed at my house. Kevin and Heather came over yesterday and helped us with some firewood. take care of some firewood because I had some trees that were down, some by storm, and one wasn't down yet, but it was very much dead. From what I could tell, it wasn't that old of a tree, but it stood straight and tall and again very dead. Well, it was the same tree that the previous owners had wrapped a cable around to suspend a zip line. Some of you have been to my house and seen that zip line. And I didn't notice until after the tree was dead that that tree had grown to the point that the cable was binding into the bark of the tree. And it was starting to have to try to grow around that cable. You know what happened to that tree, I'm persuaded? I choked that tree to death. How are you going to kill a big tree? Well, you can cut it down, of course. You know the enemy is sly and how he works with us? He may not come in one fell swoop to try to knock us off our feet. Oh, he'll try that too sometimes. You know, if the enemy can't get you that way, he just might try to so encumber you, to so wrap you around with the cares of life and the responsibilities and the busyness of life that slowly, little by little, I begin to be starved spiritually. Well, I was researching just a little bit of how would that kill the tree. It only indented maybe a quarter of an inch or less than half an inch into the tree. What I learned is there is xylem. The xylem part of the tree is the wood itself that draws the water up from the roots and carries it up into the tree and the branches and the leaves. That's one component. But surrounding that and just inside of the bark is the phloem. And that's what takes the sugars that are generated from photosynthesis in the leaves. You remember how that works? The leaves absorb the sunlight and it converts it to a sugar, essentially, in the leaves. And that flows back down the opposite direction and it carries it down the tree and into the roots of the tree. It's food for the tree, generated by God's sunlight. It's a pretty incredible system that God designed. But whenever you have a cable or something that constricts the bark of that tree, it can also happen if you just wring a tree. It interrupts the flow of that sugar. The nutrients and that food being carried down to the roots of the tree. And what happens then is underneath the surface, the roots of that tree begin to slowly die. It's still carrying some water up, so the leaves might still be green and leafed out for a while. But underneath the surface, the roots that really are what makes the tree strong and that sustains its life, they're slowly dying out. Until the point as those roots are now dead underground, the tree above it has nothing left but to die along with it. Can you see how the enemy might try to work in the same way in our life? If he can get us encumbered about, I might still feel the same about the Lord. I still have thoughts about the Lord. And I might still come to serve and do some of the things that I ought to do. But I've become constricted. And little by little, less and less of what the Lord wants to get to me, for me to be encouraged on a daily basis, for me to be spiritually fed and challenged and sustained, that begins to be choked off more and more and more. And I begin to get less and less. And the roots that should be able to grow down and draw from the water when everything else around me is barren, it begins to die off. Lord, help us. How is our root structure today? 2 Timothy, the second chapter, gives this counsel as we conclude. 2 Timothy 2 and 4, it says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Every one of us are in life and are in this world, but by the Lord's help and by the keeping power of the Holy Spirit, we must keep ourselves from becoming entangled. We must keep ourselves from becoming choked out. So beware today, spiritual choke hazards. The writer of Hebrews said in the 12th chapter, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed around about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us," what? "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." You know, in light of the things we've been discussing here this morning, there may be times that the Lord comes and checks me and challenges me and says, "You know what? You're starting to become choked out. You're starting to become spiritually, nutritionally deprived. There's some things that you need to lay off. There are some things that you need to set aside." You know what? Sometimes we might have to say no. When so much will come our way and be brought to us, there are some boundaries that I'm going to have to draw to say, "No, I've got to not allow myself to become so overcrowded and so choked that I can't give to the Lord my time, my energy, where all I have left to give the Lord is just little pieces and crumbs of what's left. Just the last waking strains before I fall asleep. Lord, that's you. Here you go. That's yours." Lord, help us that we keep ourselves from spiritual choke hazards. Pray for me. Amen.